This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later, we'll talk about the international helium shortage, and also we'll talk about the cutting edge of cancer research. But first, you know that inkjet printer on your desk? Well, believe it or not, the technology that spits out tiny drops of ink to create images on paper can be rigged to print a layer of tiny cells on a surface, like ink on paper, and may be one day able to craft an entire organ, maybe replace a liver or a lung or who knows what. Scientists working on this technology are still in the very early stages of research, seeking to perfect the first technique, and that is to place cells precisely where they want them without damaging them in the inkjet process. A review of this research appears in today's issue of the journal Science, and joining us now to talk about the whole idea is Paul Calvert, professor in the Department of Materials and Textiles at the University of Massachusetts in Dartmouth. And if you'd like to join our discussion, our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Also, and if you're in Second Life, you can find this in the Science School area. Look for folks with T-shirts and Science Friday balloons on them. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Calvert.
Thanks very much.
Did I describe that correctly, that you're just like you can spit out ink drops on a piece of paper, you can spit out cells on a surface?
Yes. The wish clearly would be to make things that are more three-dimensional. So you would want to think in terms of using your inkjet printer again and again and again over the same piece of paper so that the layers got thicker and thicker and thicker until you had a three-dimensional object.
But right now you're in the early stages of figuring how to create that first layer.
Yes. We've known for some time that we can print down materials and make reasonably thick layers. And we have an interest in applying this towards electronics. But then we realized, well, maybe we can do this with cells and with biological materials, and we can start to build something like a tissue. So it's a question both of putting down the cells and what the cells need to support them and what they need to grow in.
Now, an inkjet printer spits out tiny little droplets of ink and creates the images that we see. You've been able to get the inkjet to spit out living cells.
The cells are a bit smaller than the size of the nozzle, so it was obvious that it might be possible. But as we went into this, I think most of us would have expected that the process would be so traumatic that the cells would die during either the passage through the small nozzle or being shot across the space in between, or when they smack into the surface. So the interesting part, the surprise in a sense, was they turn out to be so much tougher than we expected.
So they survive. They survive that impact.
They survive very well. And a friend of mine in Manchester has shown survival rates of something like 95% or better.
Wow.
So, yes, they certainly survive.
And what kind of cells are we talking about here?
We've done a number of kinds of cells. We've looked at adult stem cells. We've looked at embryonic stem cells. We've done yeast. We've done some bacteria. And other people have done quite a number of other cells. So I think at this point, we think almost anything, any cell type will go through and can be made to survive. Part of the trick is to make sure the ink has enough nutrients to support the cell while it's sitting in the cartridge waiting to go on its journey. But apart from that, everything seems to be quite easy.
And like, I guess, an inkjet printer, which has different colors in it, and then combines those colors to make, it's the primary colors, to combine them to make all the colors in the rainbow. You can do that with your inkjet for cells and then build up layers of different kinds of cells and make it possibly an organism out of it?
The concept would be that a cell needs something to attach to. It needs some kind of a support. There ought to be some kind of a matrix around to feed it and keep it wet and covered in nutrients. So at least a three-color printer, one could imagine printing cells, printing some kind of support structure, printing some kind of matrix, and then doing these sequentially to build up sort of a multi-layer club sandwich kind of structure.
Mm-hmm. So the printer would build the matrix while it's building whatever it's doing. In other words, it would lay down the foundation and then put the cells on top of it.
So, yes, put down the foundation, put the cells on top, put something around the cells, then another layer and maybe a layer of different cells and then some other support structure, and then just keep going and going and going.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking with Dr. Paul Calvert. Is the idea to repair organisms or to build whole new organs?
The immediate idea is to just stay with simple structures with maybe two or three layers, to perhaps put down a layer of cells, put down some kind of separating membrane, and then a layer of a different cell type, and start to look at how they respond to each other. And start to look at the cell-to-cell communication structure. Mm-hmm. We really don't know all that much about how different cells respond to each other and how they work together to build tissues. Mm-hmm. So we need to understand that part of it before we get all excited about, you know, building whole organs.
Yeah,
but in principle, it's there, and yeah, one could keep going until you've got something large and a functioning biological system.
How would the cells know once they get spit out of the inkjet printer? How do they know how to link up and communicate to form a tissue?
That's a very good question, and it's essentially one we hope to ask them when we have the initial structures built. I think at this point, and remember, you're talking to a material scientist, and a cell biologist would know a lot more than me. Mm-hmm. But I think at this point, we really don't know enough about that to know exactly how we would go about building it. Mm-hmm. But we know we can use this kind of approach to probably get the kind of information we need to then help us go to the next level and build more complex structures.
Well, speaking as a material scientist, then I'll ask that part of you. Would it be possible to create like the bare wires of nerve fibers and then lay down neuron cells on there and have them create connections?
Certainly, one of my colleagues down at Clemson, Tom Boland, has been looking at putting down nerve cells and looking to see how they respond. I think one very interesting thing might be to take it a stage beyond that and put down nerve cells and put down actual wires and then start to see whether one could use that to get electronics to talk to cells. Mm-hmm. Because clearly there is a great deal at stake if we can get machines and people to communicate together better.
Hmm. So how far have you come in actually printing the tissue and finding whether, you know, how well the cells talk to one another?
We are really just beginning. We have got to the point where we know we can put the cells down, we know they survive. And that's really the reason I wrote this little summary article, was to sort of mark the fact that we've passed this milestone. We probably would have expected the cells to die in the process. But they don't. The printer prints them out. They do survive. That means we have a tool that we can really use to start building structures.
Have you gotten cooperation from the inkjet cartridge people or the people who make the printers?
They are certainly interested in this. We, in particular, have not had a lot of cooperation, and I think that's understandable in the sense that inkjet cartridges are very close to the heart of their business. Mm-hmm. And they don't necessarily want to share greatly.
And we all know how they hate when you refill them.
Exactly. And they would like to keep it close to their chest.
And you're not putting ink in their inkjet cartridges.
Right.
Is it as simple as filling an inkjet cartridge? You know, is it that simple to just pour the stuff in and let it print?
Well, you've got to wash it out very, very thoroughly and then sterilize it very, very thoroughly. And then wash out whatever you use to sterilize it with. But then, yes, it's essentially a question just of refilling them with something that looks pretty much like a normal ink, except it's got cells in it.
And what are the advantages of inkjet technology? What does it do well for you?
The reason we came to inkjet technology, we had been using other writing technologies in the past that put down fairly thick layers. But the inkjet printer, for one, it'll let you put down very thin slices of material and so build quite nicely defined structures. And then secondly, it's a non-contact process so that whatever you do on the second layer doesn't really disturb what you just put down in the first layer. So it's a very versatile sort of technique. There are many ways of making marks on paper, and in principle, all of them could be applied one way or another to putting down cells and other materials. But the charm of inkjet printing is really the non-contact part of it. And then just the simplicity of using it.
Well, now that you've had basically a proof of concept and surprise yourself that the cells live, where do you go in your next step?
Well, our immediate next step is we've actually put down neat little lines of yeast cells. We've covered them with a blanket of sort of biological gel. And then we will start putting lines of other cells on top of those and then see how the proximity between the two layers makes them react one to the other. So our immediate target is to look at whether the cells are aware of each other's existence through this thin separating layer and see how they respond.
Well, we wish you good luck, and check back with us.
Well, thank you very much.
Who would have ever thought that inkjet technology would be used this way? I'm sure you guys are as surprised as we are. Thanks for taking time to be with us,
Dr. Calvert. Okay, my pleasure. Thank you.
Paul Calvert is a professor in the Department of Materials and Textiles at the University of Massachusetts in Dartmouth. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, switch gears and talk about a helium shortage. If you're planning, balloons, helium, big bunch of helium balloons, and you go to the store, you may find that you can't buy them like you would like to. So stay with us. We'll talk about how it impacts more than just the balloon technology, but high tech as well. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.